Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Coach Lee. I'm coming to you, not live. This is a pre-record. But anyway, you're rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee today. Again, this is a pre-record. Did I mention that this is a pre-record? Yes, y'all. It's been a while since I've been on the, been on here. At birthday, the weekend before last, and the week before that, it was something else that went down. But you know what? It is Monday, June 4th. And it is rocking nothing but women's football the last couple of weeks. And yeah, I got a lot of things on my mind, a lot of things I didn't forgot about because I turned 40 years old, and I've been having a lot of 40 moments, yo. You know, the moments where you knew you were talking about something, but now you didn't forget. But anyway, yeah, if you're rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee each and every Monday night here on Blog Talk Radio. Wow, like I said, I'm out of my elements right now. I'm actually just chilling right now at the Aliente Hotel here in North Las Vegas, at the pool, to be honest. I'm just maxing and relaxing and doing a trip. For those who don't know, I work in the sports and recreation department here in the city of Las Vegas, but I also do a couple hours at the senior center, and I brought them into town because I work out in the sticks. About 80 miles outside of Vegas. I drive out there every day. And so I brought a couple of seniors here in town, and they're doing their birthday trip and stuff like that. So I'm just chilling here, giving it to you, because that's what I do, you know. Again, you're rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and I'm going to get this thing started. I don't know if you can hear the music in the background, but I hope not, but I'm going to give this a shot anyway. And we just going to move on and move forward, you know, like I said. Couple of topics today. I want to talk about playoffs. I want to talk about forfeits, and I want to talk about my true feelings of women's football. And like I said, they're my true feelings, not your true feelings, but my true feelings, and some of your feelings might be hurt, and some might not get hurt. Some might be thinking that, hey, you right on point, and some might think that I'm far-fetched. But anyway, let's get this show started like we always do, but we got to always, you know, give kindness to our sponsors. We got Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas. We Adidas, we all should be rocking Adidas. We got Rogers Athletic Company, you know, the official sponsor of the Women's Football Camp and Conference, which is taking place in January 6th through the 9th, here in Las Vegas, as well as we're doing an East Coast version of the camp, because we've got so many inquiries of football players who feel that if it was a camp on the East Coast edge, that they'll be more willing to go to that than to fly all the way to Vegas. Hey, my thing is this: no matter how you look at it, we can't satisfy everybody, so you're gonna have to get up on a ride somewhere—a bus, a plane, a train. It don't matter. You got to get there. But anyway, women's football camp and conference is where the good get better. Also, Enterprise, pick Enterprise Rent a Car Wild because they will pick you up. And you know, let's just get this bad boy started like we always do. We kick it off, we kick off, we kick off, we kick off, and it's another deep kick. Yes, we rock it 4 quarters closely, and we kick it deep. That's all we do is talk about women's football and how deep it is, and the issues and things that we must go through to be a part of women's football. Let's start this bad boy off with quarter number one. Well, I said I was going to go with playoff forfeits, and my true feelings is the order. But you know what? Let's talk about, you know, update. You know, I'm a big smack talker, and I like to just go ahead and get it out there. You know, I told everybody that the Showgirls were going to go 8-0, and it didn't happen, folks. This weekend, I hats off to the coaches over with the Warriors and the players with the Pacific Warriors. They came this past weekend, and they tapped us a little bit this weekend. We lost 33-21, and like I said, it ain't no excuses. Football is you come to play the game. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter how many players we had and how many were there or not playing, it doesn't matter. A loss is a loss, and that's how I deal with it. The better team on Saturday won. Period. There's no excuse. You're not going to hear me say it by any excuses. Pacific Warriors on that day was the best team, and it showed on the scoreboard, and hey, hats off. But, you know, over the last 2 weeks, there have been some other striking events that took place, and you know, I haven't had a chance to talk about it, and I'm going to try to sit here and see if I can remember. Because, again, I'm not in front of no computer. I'm not in front of no notes. I'm just going by what's on top of my dome and what's in my heart, you know. On with the place. But again, we are in the playoffs. We are still the top seed in our bracket. We do have home field advantage still. We'll be playing the Portland Phillies where we play them on June 26th. There we go. June 26th here in Vegas. Hopefully we win that game. Then we'll be on the road to two places that we don't know yet as of today. We won't find out the next weekend. And I talked about that as well, but you got the Houston Power and the Austin Outlaws. The winners in the playoffs, they will go travel to the Memphis, not Memphis, Seoul, but to the Seoul, but they're not called Memphis. Again, I'm not in my right state of mind, but you guys know what I'm talking about. The Seoul, I can't get the first name. But there's a soul out of Tennessee anyway. And if one of the Texas teams beats the soul, then they will be flying to Vegas. If the soul wins, no, my bad, back up. If one of the Houston teams, the Texas teams beat the soul, then we'll be flying to one of the Texas teams for the second round if we win the first round. And then if we win the second round, we'll be hosting the third round before the national championship game. So, you know, a couple people out there was upset and mad because, we haven't made up our mind which the playoff scenario was going to be. And it was some clarity that needed to be formalized with the playoff scenario in the American Conference, which we're in, because we have to travel so far. And unlike the National Conference, the teams are a lot closer. So home field advantage was basically on your record. Here on the West Coast, the first round was what's called choice, division winner's choice. Right now, we own the tiebreakers. And the way we were reading the playoff brackets were, we felt that we could have went on the road. Hear me out. We felt that we could have went on the road and played Portland, and then played the winner out of the Seoul and either the Texas teams, either Austin or Houston, play them at home, and then also were able to host the division championship game at home. But that's not how the rules were completely written out. It was only written out for we thought it was that way because it was only written out for round one and two with the assumption that round three would be the same as round two, but that wasn't added on there. So, like I said, there was a couple people out there that was upset, and still upset, because I still didn't make up my mind until after I found out what the playoff scenario is. Any good home team or any good team that has an advantage is going to want their the advantage of playing throughout the season, kicking everybody's butt and doing what you got to do. And then if you have choice, you need to make the right choice, not only for your team, but for your organization. Okay? So, again, there's some people out there that's upset and they're mad. You know what? I really don't care because we play by the rules and we went by the rules. And the fact is, we determined that we're going to play at home on the 26th of June. Now, some people don't like the fact that they got to play in the hot sun. Hey, that's what home field advantage is. You know, I've been on an Indian board, and like I said, everyone has the freedom of speech and speak their mind, and that's all good. But my rebuttal to that is, it is home field advantage. Now, it ain't going to be no chicken stuff going on or some chicken crap. You know what I'm talking about. I just don't want to say the S word about mistreating anybody. The fact is, if I'm the home field, I'm going to sit on the home side of the stadium. You know, if you're in the sun, that's your problem. That is your problem. We play at 6 o'clock. We can't play no later, so we got to be off the field at 9. Those are the rules of our home stadium. But we start at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. Guess what? We got to be off the field at 9 o'clock. And you just got to deal with the heat. We do. We live in it. So you're human. We're human. You just got to adapt to it. It's no different than us going and playing in the freezing snow. That doesn't make no sense. Why would I want to go play on the ice bowl or in the rain or whatever? There's always going to be. That's the home field advantage, people. Again, we're talking to people who don't know your playoff structure and don't look at football and understand that you want home field advantage, you want your home crowd, you want to root and toot and do what you got to do. But there's not going to be any mistreating of you. Again, our thing is this. We're out there playing in the same amount of pads you are. We've got the same amount of water that you have that's provided to us, that we provide for you. It's up to you to adapt. That's the whole thing about football. Adapt to your environment and play ball. What else? It's 106 for everybody, you know? Oh, well. I might sound nasty because, again, when I type my response, it's your interpretation of how I feel. I can type, I love you, and you think I'm sarcastic. Or if I type, I love you, you might really think I love you. But if you hear it and see it at the same time, then you can formalize a situation where you know how I truly feel. And how I truly feel is, hey, win the games during the season, and then you get to determine how things go down. My team took its bumps and bruises. This is 5 years in the making, yo. You know, this is our second playoff appearance. And we've learned, hey, we got to win them in the beginning. We got to win them in the middle. We got to win them at the end so that we can control our own destination. So don't sit up here and complain and whatever. Play ball. You know, like I tell everybody, just shut up and play ball. The best team will win, no matter what the scenario is. Again, I don't make excuses for when we win. I don't make excuses for when we lose. The best team on the field wins or has won or has just beat the other team for that moment. Does that mean that they're better than us, you know, overall? No, but the best team on the field that day won. So, again, grow up, become a big girl, okay? You become a big boy as a coach or whatever you are. And just say, hey, you know what? We're going to play ball. Don't use no excuse of why you lost. I'm taking it like a man. Does it hurt that I lost this past weekend? Yes. It hurts. But you know what? It's a learning lesson. And that's what football is all about. You can't win them all. You must learn from every game. Be it you win, you must learn. Or when you lose, you must learn. You know, my players, I'm harder on my players when we win and we didn't win right. That's my concern. When we didn't execute, ask my players. When we in the film session, I don't even worry about the good plays or the touchdown plays. I'm always finding out where we can improve on. You know? But those are things that we have control over. Those are things that we have control over. I ain't got control over the sun. I don't have control over the clouds. I don't have control over the wind. Those are just elements that we have to deal with. I don't worry about the things that I'm out of my control, you know? And that's how we got to start thinking. We always want to see everything the way that it is and think that we have control over it, and we fuss over it. I'm not here to fuss. I'm here to let you know we only going to do what we can do within our control, okay? So, again, yeah, it's been some updates, and again, we're going to be playing our team in Vegas, and like I said, that's our home field advantage, and that's what we want to do. You know, if there's any coach out there that thinks different, please call me. Please call me. Come on. Please call me. Let me know. Because I know that each coach wants that home field advantage. If I was in the swamps or if I'm in Texas and I wanted to be hot and humid, why? Because you live there. You can adapt to it. Other people sit there and complain, oh, how hot it is. Oh, I feel so sticky. Oh. You know, but like again, we go out there, we're going to play ball, we're going to do what we do. Ooh, man, you rock your four quarters of Coach T, and I just don't understand if you ain't with me on that one. Home field advantage is a mother, and if you ain't got it, then you just got to deal with it. Yes, 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 y'all, because you rock your four quarters of Coach Lee, y'all. All right. Again, you know, I'm going to get into my other topics, but again, hey, this is a pre-record. So I'm having fun with this thing because I ain't got no time restrictions. I can end the show in 30 minutes. I can go an hour. I can go an hour and 30, depending on what I got on the table. But I would love to hear from you guys, but I can't. Again, this is a pre-record, and I'm you rocking four quarters with Coach Lee. We still in quarter number one. What else I can talk about, you know, what took place? You know, there was a couple of upsets prior to the playoffs. That took place, again, our game was an upset, with the Warriors beating us, that was an upset. I'm going to call it what it is. We know we're the best, but you know, hey, on any given Saturday, it happens. You know, let me go quarter number 1B, you know, I give you guys some of my surprises and disappointments of the year. Before I jump off into the playoff forfeit and my true feelings about football, women's football. But, yeah, let's see. Some of my surprises this year, definitely the Portland Phillies is definitely one of the surprises on my radar. To put together a good team in Portland is definitely something that in the past hasn't been done. The teams that have been there, and like I said, I'm not here to call nobody names out or anything like that, but history shows that the Portland teams that have been around haven't always been winners. Not necessarily they've been losers either, but they just have not stood out in the crowd up in the Northwest. And Coach Lim put together a great group of women out in Portland, Oregon. And that they're definitely one of my big surprises of the year. My other big surprise would be probably the California Quake. I didn't think that they would do so well record-wise, but they lost to teams that they should have lost to, in my opinion. And actually, they pulled off one big surprise where I thought the SoCal Scorpions were going to possibly beat them. But hey, you know, Coach Tan did a good job with the team and rallied them up. And like I said, you play who they put in front of you. You win the games you're supposed to win. And you go about it that way. So they were definitely one of my surprises of the year. My other surprise here on the West Coast was the Sacramento Sirens. Definitely, I didn't see them going 8-0, let alone, you know, dominate in the games that they did win. With other teams that had more talent than they did. Again, I haven't seen any film. I'm just going by stats and also, you know, the record and the scores. So they've been one of my big surprises of the year. But then again, they have a couple of players that I know that's come to the Women's Football Camp and Conference, so, and they got skills, and they're so eager to learn and want to get better. So surprise, but not such a big surprise. Let me see. As I go across the board, wow. Those have been pretty much my surprise teams. As I think about it, as I go through my 40-year-old database here in my head, of the teams across the landscape. You know, the Carolina Phoenix, another big surprise, but it's not a surprise. I mean, they went 7-1 last year, and they got a great team, great coach over there. And hey, I wouldn't say that was a surprise. That was, you know, they should have done that. I think I was expecting them to be 7-1 this year, not necessarily 8-0. One of those losses came to one of my teams that that's on my disappointment side of the table. But I'll talk about that in a hot second. But let me try to go down my mental Rolodex real quick as far as surprises are concerned. As I go down the East Coast, as I go down South, I guess my other surprise will be the Houston Energy playing as tough as they did. I really feel they didn't get enough games in to really make me solid. But that'll go, again, in my with that third quarter regarding forfeits and stuff. But, again, they was pretty surprising. Who else? Wow, KC did all right. I'm thinking of the Force. I'm thinking of Mustangs. I would say the Soul. The Soul is another team that I'm surprised of. They were a part of another association at one point in time and split, so I thought that, you know, lack of talent would have been hurting, but they got a great running back over there. So, again, those are my biggest surprises on the year. I'm thinking, you know, it's easy to point out disappointments, so it is so easy to point out disappointments. Probably one of my biggest disappointments will probably be the Los Angeles Amazons. Not that they had a bad season. It's just disappointing that they went 4-4. And like I said, it's some things that are out of your control. You can't control when a player gets hurt and when they're going to be injured. And I know Coach Duncan went through a lot of hell this year with a lot of injuries. And they were able to pull it off and go 4-4. And they had, you know, a game that they shouldn't have lost for sure with the Bay Area Bandits. And actually, the Bay Area Bandits will have to go into my surprise bunch, as well as the SoCal Scorpions. I didn't think the Scorpions were going to do as well as they did with the year and a half off, almost 2 years off and coming back. And they were a little rusty at the beginning, and maybe it would have been a different outcome if the Scorpions and the Amazons would have played the last game of the season instead of the first game of the season or in the middle of the season. But again, that was my surprise. But sticking with the disappointments, again, the LA Amazons, a little disappointed in their end result, not in what they've done and accomplished, but just the end result. Carolina Queens is another team that I had high on my list at the beginning of the season, and that was probably the biggest disappointing teams to me. Not that that's negative, you guys. I don't want to take it as a negative context. Again, in my humble opinion, teams that I thought were going to do well who didn't, I'm just disappointed in. I didn't say dislike. I said disappointed in. So please, you know, listen to what the speaker has to say. Read what the writer is writing before you formalize and say that they said that this is that. Sorry, no, that ain't what I said. I said I am disappointed in the end result of their record. A little disappointing with who else? It's good. I mean, like I said, everybody's like average in the middle, but there's no one that stands out that I'm like totally surprised. And there's no one that I'm like just totally, you know, wow. Well, you know what? I can't say that. There was a team, the Houston Cyclones, very, 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 very disappointed in what took place there. I know I was talking about that in forfeits and everything, but for a team to come off of 2008 national championship, come back and play in 2009, and gave people a run for their money, and then to not come and play any games, that was very disappointing. What else? Ooh. I think that was it. I'll say if I had a range of my biggest disappointments for the season so far would be the end result of the Carolina Queens and the non-playing of the Houston Houston Cyclones. So that will be at the bottom end. And my top end surprises, again, will be the Quake and also Sacramento Sirens. So, again, you know, I'm rumbling and rambling here because I'm just enjoying the ambiance here at the Aliente Station here in North Las Vegas. You rocking Four Quarters of Coach Lee. Now I'm going to go ahead and shake this up and go ahead and move into quarter number two. Quarter number two. Quarter number two. What you going to do in quarter number two? Playoffs. Playoffs. Playoffs? Playoffs? We talking about the playoffs? Oh, I love my man Jim Moore when he went off when he was with the Minneapolis Indianapolis coach at the press conference. And that's one of the most famous quotes I've seen or heard so far. But playoffs, let's talk about playoffs. Right now, the IWFL are in the playoffs, and they have their first round. Well, let me just start off with, how I want to put it. I'm just going to shoot and be real on this. You know, the IWFL is in the playoffs, and you would never know if they were in the playoffs. I don't know why we're not making a big deal out of the playoffs. The playoffs are supposed to be the prime season of your league or your leagues or the leagues that are out there. And, again, if I want to say disappointed, I am disappointed in the promotion of the IWFL playoffs. The end result as far as the games have been great. I'm not a component or a happy person about the system that they use. Again, but that's my humble opinion. But there's a lot of other people that feel the same, and there's a lot of people that feel that, hey, that was a great system. But, you know, just starting with the Tier 2 system and having a 1-7 team make the playoff when you got other teams that are worthy of record-wise to be in the playoffs. Might not be regionally or geographically conducive, but the fact is, you got to set it up where the teams play. And the biggest argument for everybody out there is if you have a system that's made because you have higher-level teams or lower-level teams or higher population versus in lower population, and that's the higher budget, lower budget, and I wouldn't say this because a lot of people are saying it, but I'm going to say it because this is how I feel about it. Play in your league. Play in your division if you – you know, that's my biggest argument with this thing. It's not the fact that you have the tiers, but you're not following the tiers. So, you know, it kind of messes everything up. People can't see the light of why this team is making the playoff at 1-7, and then you got a 5-3 team or a 6-2 team that didn't make it. Then, you know, you got the advantages and disadvantages of some teams who play some Tier 1 teams got blown out. And you got some teams that play Tier 1 teams that are Tier 2 and 1 or came close, and the ranking system is based on a tier. Well, this sorry, see, that's a bad word. Don't say sorry, Dion. That you might offend people. There's less competitive teams in Tier 1. It's just as many less competitive teams in Tier 1 that it is in Tier 2. You know? So just because you played your Tier 2 and you played the Tier 1, don't mean that they're as good as you. You know, my whole argument in women's football is there is no difference in the level of football that these women know and play. It's the same game. They have the same roster size by, what, maybe 5 or 6 on the average players, more or less. You know, you're still crossing them up, and it just makes it, you know, confusing. So the biggest argument out there is about why this team gets to make it and why this team don't. Why this undefeated team don't have any home playoff games and this one do. But we played Tier 1 teams and they didn't. And they're undefeated because they played all all Tier 2 teams, and we're 4-4 because we played, you know, 4 Tier 1 teams. But we went 4-0 against Tier 2, you know. Just keep it simple. Let the games be played out where they are. As you can see, and this goes across the league, in all leagues, you know, I'm not picking on anybody. Women's football has to be broken down geographically. It just has to. if you want it to survive, it has to be broken down geographically. You play who's in your region. Once you get out your region, then you have national playoffs where travel will be a little bit more extensive and expensive at the same time. You know, again, there's models out there that will show you that. And just to give you a heads up, there's nothing new. The NFL had to restructure their whole alignment and move teams from one division to another division based on regionalizing and creating rival situations. Okay? Is there a tier system there? No. The cream will rise to the crop, I mean to the top, and those who aren't the cream will stay in the middle or fall down to the wayside. And I still haven't been able to see clearly how it is that I'm a tier 2 team that's inexperienced and not that good, and then I got to sit there and I got to play a team that's been around for 8 or 9 years when the system was said that you're inexperienced, you play at this tier. But to keep costs down for all the teams, you cross tier playing, and now, you know, it's just a mess. And like I said, don't take it personal. It just, again, this is how I feel. And, you know, and I just do what I do. Like, I'm Coach Lee here. You're rocking fourth quarter with Coach Lee. What can I say? But, again, as far as the playoffs are concerned, that one team that made the playoffs that, you know, I'll say 99% of us believe didn't deserve based on the accomplishments on the field, wind up losing 48-6, I think. Or 48-8, I'm not quite sure. Don't quote me on the score. I know they lost by at least 40. Could there have been another team that could have made, you know, a better game out of it? I'm pretty sure there is. A more deserving team? I'm pretty sure it was, but it is what it is. And just like you say, Coach Lee, you play who's in front of you. Who's on the field? And I'm not blaming the Bandits. I'm just blaming the system that how it exists as it is today. I'm pretty sure they're going to go back and tweak it and do whatever. That's fine. You won't go back and tweak it if you don't know what's wrong with it because you don't think, you know, it's wrong if nobody complains about it. So that's what I'm talking about there. What else? Who else took place this weekend? Again, BJ, I didn't listen to your show this weekend. You know, I had a long weekend myself while I was in L.A. Got back late and watched the Lakers lose, but that's all right. We get them. Anyway, what else? Another great game was the Force and the Dallas Diamonds. Again, an 8-0 team on the road to a 7-1 team. Why do you play the system? I mean, why do you play the season if that's the case? You might as well just write that down and say, you know what, you two are going here to play because. You know, there's no other way. You're putting the computers in charge of who's the best team based on what? Exactly. Based on what? All we can do is play the teams that are in front of us. So, in reality, I feel that the system has let the teams down that have gone 8-0. Again, something that these teams had no control out of, you know. But, again, the Force goes down to Dallas and lose. I will say that 90% of the traveling teams in the playoffs in women's football, I'm going to say it, 90% of the teams that travel lose. Why? Because it's a long trip. They worried about fundraising and getting there and not practicing. There's a lot of issues with that. That's how we play the game. That's how we play the regular season, to get home field advantage. So a team that's 8-0 should have home field advantage against a team that's 7-1. I know that the Los Angeles Amazons went through that with the KC Tribe last year. KC Tribe was 7-1 in the Amazons, so 8-0, but because of the system, the Amazons had to travel. And guess what? Amazons lose, Tribe wins a national championship. Again, how do you know that you're going to get home field advantage? What do you play the season for then? Especially when you have no control. Matter of fact, you can add up at the beginning of the season. If we win every game, if we're a certain amount of points in the computer, we got total, I'm just throwing out a number, we got 52 points if we win all our games. Well, here's another team that's going to get higher rated based on this, this, and this, and you add it up at the end of the season, before the season started, and they can get a possible 56 points and lose a game. So what can you do? Another situation like that is the Carolina Phoenix. You know, they're the number one scoring team in the league. In the league, across all tiers. And they're still not top seeded. They got a home game this week, which they actually won, but now they got to travel to Montreal. That doesn't make any sense. There has to be some tiebreakers. You just can't let somebody punch numbers in the computer and determine who the best team is. Another bad situation again. Team with a better record. 7-1 Atlanta Explosion. 5-3 DC Divas. Again, the home team won, but the away team had the better record. Come on, it don't take a rocket science to see what's there. You know, again, playoffs, you play the season to get that home field advantage. If that's the case, just put me in the playoffs on the road the first week then. I don't want to play the 8 games. That's just a waste of my time. Okay, so again, I'm not here to change the system. I'm just telling you how everybody else is saying it and saying it. I'm just the one who's saying it because I can do that. You rock the court, four quarters of Coach Lee, I do that. I don't have no qualm about, you know, something wrong. If something's wrong with me, I'll say it straight up. You know, I have no problem about that. But it's not a knock on the league. It's just a knock on the system that needs to improve. And trust me, 99% of the teams that are having these issues have the issues, but just don't speak up to say anything because they don't want to be recommended by whatever consequence that comes about their dislike of the system. That's all. I'm not in the system, so I can say it. It ain't going to hurt me. But think about it. Look at it, you guys. You know, another situation, the Quake get kicked out. They go 6-2. You know, they should have won that last game. You know, again, destiny was in their hand. They had control of their own destiny. But tiebreak should have been, you only played the team one time. You beat them. It's head-to-head. You're 6-2, so the first tiebreaker should be what? Head-to-head. So I'm in disagreement with the Massey ratings, as the ratings of telling people where they're going and when they're playing. It's a system that's very flawed. This is where you got to go back to old-school football and say, you know what? It's played out on the field. Football is played out on the field. So if it came to a point, you know, I'll give you my scenario. We just split with the Warriors. Okay, we went 1-1. But if it was point differential, we beat them 34-6. They beat us 33-21. So it'd be point differential. You know, that's as fair as you can get it. You played the team twice. Now, we only played them once, and we ended up with the same record. Then it's head-to-head competition. It has to be that way. It's more respected that way. The team that got asked out ain't got nothing to say. All the coach can do is turn around and say, ladies, you should have won it on the football field because that's where it's won at. It's not won in the computer room. It's not won in the boardroom. And it's not won on the coin flip, even though that's another technique that's used as well, old school football. But again, this is me talking. So, you know, IWFL didn't win until their first round of playoffs. It was some great games out there. I want to say that all the home teams won. I don't have the computer in front of me to quote the scores and all that good stuff, but that's not my job. My job is to say, hey, good job, teams. Good job, ladies. And you got to be back out on the field in 30 days. You know, that might be another issue. I know that the world games are going on and stuff like that, but, you know, tell me something. What's more important, your playoffs or representing the world? Hey, again, I'm not going to answer that for you, but it goes back to not even publicizing the playoffs. It should have been a national newsletter out or some kind of press release, you know, or something like that. And everybody wondered why football is failing, because that's where the league's supposed to put in their machine and make everybody know that, hey, we are in the playoffs now. It's our turn. It's whatever the slogan is. That is the opportunity to do that. and it wasn't done. And I'm hoping that Molly can take note of that and get some things going and let people know. You know, cause I know we're going to take advantage of this while the downtime of football. We're going to make sure, and you know, like I said, I'm going to make sure, at least on the West Coast, that we're pumping this playoff situation up. Because, again, people don't know. People don't know that you ladies play football. They don't know I coach women's football. They don't know about the acronym. They don't know nothing about the WWFA. They don't know nothing about the IWFL. They don't know nothing about the WSFL. They don't know what those acronyms mean. 6,000 of us out there involved in women's football, and people still don't know. People, if each of us just told 10 people, that's 60,000 people that should be knowing about women's football. You're not doing a good job at promoting it. And I'm pointing the finger to everybody. You are not doing a good job of promoting football. Point blank. You know, point blank. But playoffs, you know, hey, the playoffs aren't set in the WFA. I'm not quite sure if the playoffs are, or if they're going to be a playoff in the WSFL. I know that the Storm are either 4-0 or 5-0. I'm not quite sure yet. Again, I'm not in front of my computer, but I know they're undefeated. You know, they're doing a great job. That's fine. But I'll get into some other things about that later. But as far as playoff time, hey, it's a whole new level. You got to take it to a whole new level. It ain't just come and miss practice and come up and show up on the field. You can't do that in playoff ball. You got to be able to come out and do your thing, yo. You got to come out there. It's a whole new level. And my girl saw that last year. Yeah, we were good last year, but we had to take that next level step, and we learned from our mistakes there, and we're going to get it done. In the WFA, as far as I know, I just talked about the American bracket because I really don't look. I don't look into the other bracket because I don't want to be that far ahead. It doesn't affect me only but the last game of the season. But as of right now, again, the Showgirls will be playing the Phillies in the first round in Vegas. The Lone Star Mustangs will be playing the Pacific Warriors in Texas. You got the Soul hosting either the Power or Austin. And then you got the Minnesota Machine and the Iowa Thunder. I forgot who's the home team there. I want to say it's Iowa Thunder because they won this weekend. And I want to say they got the tiebreaker because they played three times. They beat them twice. Don't quote me on that, but I'm just saying that's our bracket. That is our bracket. And like I said, it begins on June 26th. Playoffs begin June 26th. Anyway, I'm going to get off the playoffs because, like I said, I got some information and no information. But I will get back into that again. These are some of the things that were going through my head as I was thinking about my show for the day. Again, we got to highlight the playoffs. If this will be the best ball played by your league, my league, or anybody's league, then you need to highlight it, okay? Woo! Time goes by fast. When you're rocking four quarters of Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, here we go. Let's move on. Corner number three. Forfeits, y'all. Forfeits, y'all. Forfeits, forfeits, forfeits. Man, I think I had a topic on the meme board back in the day. Beginning of the season, talking about teams are, you know, who's going to forfeit? Because, again, this was a time of period where, you know, folks ain't got jobs. Things are breaking down. No money, no travel this. And, you know, sometimes our pride gets in the way of reality. Instead of saying that we don't have enough money to go through the season, our pride tells us that we're going to do this anyway. And all your pride do is hurt the other teams that you play, you know. But there's been a couple of teams out there, my league and your league and other leagues that have not shown up to the games for one reason or another. And I always go back to this, because this is going to be a short quarter, I'll tell you that. I've always said, if you don't have the money, then don't talk about the money. That means you might have a team in name, you might have a team in theory, but if you don't have anywhere between $30,000, go back to one of my other shows when I told you what a budget is, a minimum of $30,000, that's before the season, then you don't need to be in women's football. I'm sorry to tell you that. If you don't have $30,000 sitting in the bank, you are not going to make it through the season, let alone the playoffs. Because there's going to be trouble in the playoffs, one way or another, or even getting your room, or not your room, but your stadium. You got to get prepared. You know, for those teams that are not in the playoffs today, you need to start working on making that money for next year. Think about this. There's 12 months in a year before we at this point in time again. You need to raise minimum $2,000 a month. That's $24,000 in 1 year. And you're still $6,000 short of the minimum to run a minimized women's football team. That's just to get you through the season. And that's cutting corners everywhere. Okay? So you guys got to get started now. Don't wait. It's disappointment. It's very disappointing for forfeits. We've had a situation here, like I said, I don't mind calling out situations. You know, we had a new team in our league, San Diego team, came out powerful and strong with good numbers, with decent numbers, had some injuries, had a coach quit, you know, and they were talking about packing it up for the season. I'm like, no, as a Western Regional ref, you can't do that. Okay? You can't. Now, I don't care if you don't have your home games because, one, you're saving the team that got to come out their money, and it ain't hurt nobody. But what hurts is we put these teams on our schedule for home games, and you don't show up to my place. That's the problem. That is the problem because my season ticket holders are now pissed off and mad because I am not playing four games, five or six home games. So, you know, that's my problem with the forfeits. You know before the season if you can make it, you guys. Don't lie to your other teams out there. We all business partners. We're business partners. Don't tell me you got 40 women out there and in reality you got 10. Don't tell me you got your stadium sold up and you don't. Don't tell me, you know, you got your uniforms and you don't. You know, I had an issue with my uniforms. My uniform company did not get our uniforms in time, and I made them get a jersey. Mine, they might be a cheap, but we all look the same. So for the first three games, the Showgirls played in some honeycomb white jerseys and kicked butt in them, you know. We looked like a team. We didn't look good like we do in our uniforms now. But when you got 20 New Year jerseys and they didn't come in on time, you know, they were ordered 4 months in advance, I let the teams know in advance, hey, we got these type of jerseys and, you know, you guys wear your home jerseys. That's fine. But going back to forfeits, you guys, we can't have them. It's embarrassing. Across women's football, period. It's not good because if one team forfeits games, it reflects everybody, no matter what league you're in. Women's football across the board is the same, and I keep promoting that and telling you guys that. It is the same. You're no better than the other team. You have just as many experienced players and inexperienced players as any other team. It's all in coaching. It's all in the organization that makes that team the best. The less the players have to do to build the organization, the better they can concentrate on being the better team. You know, the less the coaches got to do, the more coaching they can put in. The more the owners do, the less they have to worry about the team. It's all about the organization. You know, again, I use other teams that have been around before me as my example. And again, I always throw this out there, you guys. I always throw it out. I don't like certain people in particular, we just can't get along, and that's fine. But I respect what they do and what they've done. The Dallas Diamonds have been first class 100% as far as organization-wise and on the field-wise. They win because they got a tight ship. Okay? Just because me and the owner don't get along don't mean I can't see the good in them and want to copy what they've done as an organization, to play them and to understand what a good team is all about. I understand that. I took my bumps and bruises. Okay? I've learned, and I've seen, and I've added my own touch to it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why the Women's Football Camping Conference was put out there to let you guys know. No one is bigger than anybody else. The worst link, the weakest link in the women's chain affects all of us. We all need to improve. I know I'm getting off the subject. I always do that. But anyway, going back to the forfeits. We can't have them. We got to be more solid in the selection process of these teams, be it old teams and new teams. Owners got to step up and bring in the money. You can't expect the players to do it, you know, and I try so hard to help my team. You know, I'm not rolling in the dough like I used to. You know, I can't do it like I was doing in 2006, 2007. The economy has hit me as well. I've asked a little bit more out of the girl. But you got to make it what it is, the best you can possibly make. Not out of reach, but having money affects the team. And owners got to be creative and do this full time and get out there and bring it in. It will eliminate the forfeits. You got to get out there and get coaches. You got to get more players. You got to recruit. You can't go into the season with 22 players talking about you're going to play an 8-game season. All it takes is two or three of those players to get hurt, and all of a sudden you can't compete with the other teams. All right? So, again, forfeits. I knew they were coming. I seen them coming. The teams that forfeited, I already knew. But instead of them stepping up and being a true organization to say, you know what, we can't get it done. We had to sit out this year. They went ahead and got themselves on the schedule and screwed a lot of people. You know, there's teams out there that got three forfeits, four forfeit wins. You know, a win is a win. I take it if it comes. I don't care. A win is a win for me. But we play the game to play the game. We don't play the game to have a forfeit week in, week out. So, again, I blame the owners. I blame the coaches. I blame the players. Okay? We all got it. We all got a nasty part in that, and we got to improve on that. And we got to see that from the league's perspective. We need to do a better background check on these teams and follow up to making sure that they have the adequate resources in order to fulfill a season and not just try to be the biggest league. You know, just because you're the biggest league don't mean you're the best league. You know, if you got crappy teams with crappy finances, then you're going to be the biggest crappy league with the crappiest teams. Okay? Take some responsibility in helping these teams get to where they got to get to, and be honest with them. You just ain't got it. You guys can't play this year because of this, and this. But see, leagues, they scared. They scared, y'all, because if they lay down the hammer like that, then these teams will be skipping to other leagues. Like they do it anyway. But my thing is, I want to be a part of a respectable league where my colleagues, my peers, are on the same level as what I am on, or what I want to be on their level at a higher level. That's where we want to take women's football. Let's stop spinning our wheels in the mud and just letting any and everybody in just because they said they can play a team together. Or it looks like a good market, or it's a team that's close to whatever, you know. Let's take a real look at it, because, again, they're business partners. I don't want no shady, non-committed business partners with me, because it makes me look bad. It makes you look bad. So we need to get that together, you know. I keep hearing the hitting the button because I'm on the phone, and I don't know how much time I got left. I'm trying to keep it for 60 minutes, okay? So, again, that's it on the forfeits for me. I'm going to finish up with the last 8 minutes here. Quarter number four. Again, you're rocking 4 quarters with Coach Lee right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, it's brought to you by Adidas. My Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We awesome. You're rocking Adidas. It's brought to you by Rogers Athletic Company, the official year of the Las Vegas Showgirls, but the Women's Football Camping Conference, and also Enterprise. Pick Enterprise. Why? Because they'll pick you up. My last thing, my true feelings, you guys, my true feelings on the three existing leagues. I really feel that we are moving in the right direction as women's football, but I do have some issues, personal, not that it's personal, I'll say they're business issues, they're business model issues, and people don't like it, but hey, I want you to know who I am. I'm not afraid of nobody. I'm not scared of nobody. We can meet in the back alley. We can go at it. It don't matter, okay? It really don't matter. But my true feelings is this, and I'm going to start it off with this, teams. You know, most of the teams that are out there have started because they didn't like the team that they were on, so they started up another team. in the city, the same city or a nearby city, which is fine with me. Don't have an issue with that. The issue that I have is that those two teams can't play because they're in separate leagues, and leagues have rules that say they can't play, which is stupid, very stupid. If you're trying to save teams money, allow them to play postseason games or preseason games where, one, they can raise some money, create awareness, and also use it as a practice if they're in separate leagues. Now, my other thought about that is if those two teams are in the same league, allow that to happen. Why? Because, again, it creates rivalry. Why? It creates control. When you got two teams in the same city in different leagues, all hell breaks loose. But when there's two teams in the same city in the same league, there is some control of element. There is some rules of conduct that can be followed and enforced by the league that allows that to happen. You know, it's happening in Vegas. And my thing is this, I really don't care because I believe in my product. I don't care if another team comes in my backyard. My thing is this. I want to play them because I want to whoop that butt on the field instead of whooping that butt on the kneeing board or whooping that butt arguing. Football is played on the field. So if you feel you can do it better, then bring it. That just makes it another home game for me. I just saved $4,000. Hey, all of us would like to save $4,000. So again, get smart, leagues. People, owners, get smart. The team is going to exist anyway, no matter how you look at it. Welcome them into your arms and say, yes, yeah, you can come on in. Ain't no problem because you ain't going to have those players anyway. But now you got to be man enough. You got to be woman enough. You got to be team enough to go and whoop that butt on the football field. If you think your organization is just that good, I have no problem with another team in my backyard. My problem is, and it's always been, is don't go run into another league so that you can hide behind the fact that you don't want to play us, and then all you talk about is we better than you. I don't want to hear that hoorah and cheerleading stuff. Let's get it on the field. Let's get it on, as I said. Okay? So that's my true feelings on teams in the same market. It can work. It can work. You guys just don't want it to work because you don't want to get your butt whooped on the football field. Okay, and that goes across the board, and that's been everywhere. My 5 years in football, like there's seven teams in L.A., there's two teams in San Diego, there's four or five teams in the Kansas City area, there's six teams in the Florida market. Come on, people. How are we going to cut down the cost if we want people 300 miles away and then 300 miles away from that? I mean, I got to travel 300 miles the first week, travel 600 miles the second week, travel 900 miles the next time. That's 1,800-mile round trip to a 900-mile trip. We ain't got the money to do that. So get smart, do what you're supposed to do, and let's play ball. Stop bitching about stuff and just play ball. Those players ain't going to be on your team anyway, so, you know, forget about it. Recruit the players that you're going to get and put it together and get it done. My other feelings, you know, I made a comment on the meeting board regarding the WSFL. And again, people are going to interpret your typing as personal, and they're going to put their own feelings on it or what they think you did. Well, let me tell you, I made a comment about the WSFL because what I think they're doing is good, and what they're doing I think is bad. You know, what's good about the WSFL? Hey, they giving women an opportunity to play the game. You know, I, from my understanding, I'm not in their board meetings or whatever, but from my understanding, they go from 6s to 8s to 11s based on the teams that they play. That means you're giving women the opportunity to play the game based on how many women you have. I made a comment and said, hey, why don't you guys just go ahead and join the IWSF? And because you guys got these teams that are coming up, and that's the rule that you're playing, 6s, 8s, and 11s based on competition or how many players you got. I think that's great. But somebody interpreted it wrong as though I was bashing them. I'm not bashing you. You do what you do. You're doing a better job than the Tier 3 system, as far as I see it. Now, I'm not behind closed doors in IWSL. I don't know what the big plans are. But from my view, you guys got X amount of teams. I don't know how many because I'm not in front of the computer. But if that's the rules you're going to play, then that's fine. I have nothing wrong with that. Now, what I do have What I do have personally wrong with that is that you're going to teams that exist and you're splitting them up to create these smaller teams. Again, they can say yes, they can say no. But my thing is this. You're making it smaller and smaller. You're recruiting teams that are already having issues with numbers, and then you're going to split that team that's already, they only have 18 on their roster, so now they only got 9 or 7 or 6 or 4. So I think it's diluting the product. Now, if you're going to other areas and creating this, hey, opportunity for women to play football, let's try it out and do it. That's a different story. But to go into teams and to purposely try to split them up from what I see, which I don't know, so again, don't take it personal, it's business. You know, that's what I see wrong with it. Again, the positive side is, hey, you guys are putting teams together, you got opportunity to play. You know? But you're still having the same issues that the other leagues have. Travel issues. If your teams are all spread all over the place, it costs just the same amount of money to travel 12 women to travel 40. It's still going to cost, on an average per person, $345 to take a plane trip to go somewhere. Okay, and if you're asking the women to pay for it, that's still a lot of money. Okay? And I just don't agree that because you got lower fees that the league is better based on fees. It's not all about fees, you guys. If a team doesn't have the minimum fees to play in the league, then they ain't got the minimum fees, a budget, to have a season. So it's not about how much money the leagues are taking. It's just about, you know, hey, you got to make the money. I'm running out of time, you guys. It's like 20 seconds, and I'll be back. I will be back, and I'll get more in-depth in this thing. Again, I'm glad you guys tuned in. You're rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Hey, I'm still here. I'm actually on the road, if you can hear me. I'm just going to keep on talking. If anybody want to call in, BJ, please plug them in. Again, I might fall out because I'm going through the mountains here. But I know I had a couple people that wanted to call in. You might ask a comment. So please plug them on in. I'm all ready. True Rocket Four Quarters, Coach Lee. I'm on the road. What you got to say? Oh, man. I don't know if I'm on or not, but hey. I'm going to keep on talking. Again, that was my show today. And like I said, you know, I come from the heart. I talk about football on what's on my mind. I don't sit up there and pre-plan all week about it. You know what I'm saying? I have a lot of things going through my mind every day about improving women's football and some of the BS that a lot of us that are trying to improve football go through on a daily basis. If it's putting together a meme board to promote, if it's putting together a camp to promote, if it's putting together a marketing plan to promote, you always got somebody knocking at the door but don't want to do any work. And, you know, even this show, BJ's show, the other coach's show, you know, we all here for the same purpose, to promote women's football. Yeah, I might talk a little bit more smack because, you know, hey, I'm like Don Keene sometimes. You got to create the hype. You know, but I'm going to you know, if I'm not want to have a terrible show. But, you know, people got excited about this, and we rock and roll it. I keep hearing something in the background. Is that somebody on the line? All right. So, again, I talked about a lot of things today. Again, I was kicking back at the pool. And these are some of these random thoughts that come to my mind. You know, I took a couple of notes about 15 minutes before I did the pre-record and said, wow, you know what, I got a couple emails on this, a couple emails on that, people talk about this and that. And like I said, I'm not afraid to talk about what's going on. I'm not here to bash anybody's league. I never have been, never will. If you want to play ball, let's play ball. But don't limit those who want to play ball and play against each other. So I was just in L.A. this weekend, and I want to give props to, you know, some of the Amazons that came out to the game to support a WFA game. You know, that was cool. They weren't in the playoffs. They still involved in football. And I talked to about 8 of them after the game. You know, they want to play us. That's fine. That's good. Because it's all about the players. If you're talking about the league, the player-ran league, the owner-owned league, then do what the players want to do. Do what the coaches want to do. We want to play. We want to play ball. You know, am I disappointed that other people that are in that town didn't come to the game? Hell yeah, I am. I am definitely disappointed in other women that play football. Just because you're in another league don't mean you can't support others. I know for a fact that the first game, Amazon's and
Hello? You there, Coach Lee?
Yeah. I am here. Who's there?
This is Bill from the Soul. I told you I'd call you.
Hey, what's happening, Bill? What you got? You 4 quarters of the league. Talk to me, baby.
I just want to remind you about that date coming up, July 10th.
July 10th is the day that we're going to whip whoever's coming to Las Vegas. Or where are we going on the road? One or the other. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I hear you saying it, but we're looking forward to it.
Hey. If you guys win, guess where you're coming? Vegas, baby. 115 degrees. I'm going to tell Mr. Sun to turn it up.
Well, it's hot out here, too, and we haven't decided that we're playing at home yet. I think we can take Houston or Austin in Texas.
Okay, hey. Make that decision what's best for your organization, and that's what we have done. And like I said, a couple people are complaining about we have control of it. And they want to know now. Well, we can't know now until we find out who's in what. You know, just like you're doing. I just made mine public that I'm not telling anybody. But you really
right.
Need to hit the road, huh?
Yeah, we can hit the road. I mean, we've gone out that way before, and they still have a game to play this weekend. So, I mean, it's hard to make a decision if we don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, you've been around football. I've been around football. We know that. It's last minute. We got to know exactly whether, you know, what's best for my organization. For those that don't know, this is Coach Bill, the Memphis Soul. He hits me for it all the time, and he gets some best kicked up once in a blue moon on the website. But I love him. I love it. And like I said, we can talk smack to each other because that's what we do. You know, I respect them. He respect me. And like I said, football is played out on the field, right, Coach?
Yeah, exactly. That's where it needs to be, on the field. None of this computer ranking and whose strength of schedule is this. Every year the divisions change. You could have a strong schedule one year, and then the next year you got all cupcakes. You can't tell what's going to happen until the game starts.
Right. You don't know until the season starts. You don't know until 2 or 3 weeks into the, you know, because each team is one superstar away from being just an average team anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So people are just going off the past, and, you know, this is where I respect Coach Penn. He's always talking about they should be doing rankings because each year, each team has a different makeup, you know. The teams that are very successful have that a poor girl that have come back, and they've added to the pieces.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, do you have anything to talk about, you know, from tonight's show? I mean, like I said, man, I had listened to myself, you know. Because I have to remember, I turned 40 years old on the 7th, and I've been having 40 moments lately.
No, I liked everything on the show. The forfeits and cancellations and stuff, it makes the season hard to play because, you know, we have one game we had to cancel out because of a flood, so I guess we couldn't do that, and then we had another forfeit. So, you know, we had some weeks where we had 2-3 weeks between games, and it's hard to keep everybody up between those weeks.
Oh, Oh, definitely. I mean, even the simple bye week is it hurts us because players think, oh, it's a bye. I don't have to come to practice. You know?
Yep.
And, you know, I'm all for back-to-back-to-back and maybe having one, you know, it's only 8 games. We can go 8 weeks in a row. It doesn't matter. You need to have your budget together anyway. So, shorten down the season, and if you're in the playoff, I understand.
Yep. Well, I think the WFA did a good job this year with the playoffs. It's good to have a couple wild cards because you never know. You know, you may have, you know, the top. Well, I mean, if you look in the other bracket, I think you're going to have something like, I don't know, West Michigan and Liberty Bells playing in the first round. So I think it'll be more interesting this year.
I think the more teams in the playoffs, the more interesting it can be because teams are only getting better as the season go on. And, you know, disadvantage of, for instance, I'm going to just use the SoCal Scorpions and the Amazons playing the first game of the season. Well, everybody's shaking their boots. You don't know who the best team is. And as you saw, the Scorpions got better after being a year and a half off. You know, they should play each other twice. Or if you think they're going to be the better matchup, put them in the middle of the season so that their playoff dream ain't shattered in the first round. You know, we only play 8 games. We only have to take them out of games. Before you already have the playoffs.
Right. Well, that's true. Last year, by the third week, you knew who the playoffs were going to be. This week, I mean, it's the last week of the season. You still got 3 or 4 teams playing for a playoff spot.
Right. That brings the excitement of football. It brings the hypeness. It brings a story to tell. It's a lot of things that the teams and the league don't understand that makes football what it is.
Yep. Well, that's all I got to say. I like the show.
Well, like I've been on for 2 straight weeks, so I had a lot of things to say, and I was trying to cut the show down to only 60 minutes, but I should have went the whole hour and a half and not cut some things off. But you know what? We got plenty of time. I do this every Monday night during the season, during the off season, so we'll get those topics in. And Coach, you know, thanks for calling in. Coach, thanks for hitting the name for it, and Coach, thanks for being so honest. You know, that's what it's all about. Sure, feel it, but you know what? We got to patch that up and glue it together and come back. But, you know, feelings are going to get hurt. Don't take it personal. It's business.
All right, well, good luck this week.
All right, stay here, Coach. Thank you. All right, yo, that was Coach Bill for the Mentor Soul. Just checking in with us. You know, like I said, some of us talk real. And understand. I talk real, and I understand. You know, I really understand the business aspect. I understand the athlete aspect because I've been there. Did I play pro ball? No. Did I play semi-pro ball? No. Didn't want to play. You know what? I choose my athletic ability to get a free education. That's what I use my football skills for, to get a free education. I never had dreams of playing in the NFL. I had dreams of finding checks in the NFL, because I've always wanted to be an owner. I always wanted to be a business person. You know, if I can pay everybody, then how much money am I really making if I'm paying people? That's the mentality that I've had. And I think women's football have an opportunity to make money. We just don't have the right people in the right positions to lead us in the right direction. Or we got too many people that are too doggone proud and don't want to give other people an opportunity to help in the situation. You know, but yeah, people always ask me, Coach Lee, why do you always start this and start that? I said, hey, I've gone to each and every league first and laid it out on the table, and they chose not to do it. So, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to do what I do. I didn't get what I got because I sat on my butt. Just like being an athlete. I didn't become good because I sat on my butt. I worked hard. I worked hard at what I do. I worked hard at making the Showgirls the best that I can. I worked hard to make the Showgirls a worldwide team. I work hard for the WFA to add teams to the league so that we can be stronger. It's called hard work. I don't care who gets the credit. I don't expect anybody to pat me on the back. I don't expect my players to say, good job, coach. I'm going to get on them because I'm doing what I do.
Hey, coach. Hello? Coach Lee.
Coach Holmes, he fell off just a second. He'll be calling right back in. I'm waiting for him to call back.
Okay.
He fell off just as you started talking to him. How you doing, Coach Holmes?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Congratulations on your win against the Chattanooga Locomotion. Chet Sanchez was on the show yesterday. Okay, there's Coach Lee. I'm going to put him right through.
Okay,
Coach Lee, you're back on the air.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Coach, you there?
No. Okay.
Hey. You there, Coach?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Mountain
Y'all
trip,
don't
huh?
know, man. Driving on this road and going through the mountains is a mammoth hammer, but you sound like Coach Holmes to me.
Yep, that's who it is.
All right, baby. What you got to say, baby? You four quarters of Coach Lee. Talk to me.
I just appreciate you giving us a little bit of shout out there. Just kind of clarify a couple of things. Tier 2, I know people are down on it from other leagues, and that's okay because, you know, it's a little bit of flavor for everybody. But just to let you know, a team like us wouldn't exist without Tier 2 because we started out with 13 ball players. I mean, we didn't have enough to play, you know, for, and we played four roster teams, but we didn't have enough to kind of fill it out what most people think. And from that 13, we got experience. We learned. We went 5-1, so we didn't, you know, do bad. And here we are now at 9-0 with a chance to go to Montreal to try to win a, you know, a playoff game. So Tier 2 has its advantages. No system's perfect. I just want you to know that,
right.
You know, it's different ways to do it. It's just different ways to do it, and this is the track that we chose to do. So people beat up the Tier 2 system a lot, but it still works. Although the problem is massive. That's where the issue comes in at, because I still don't believe
right.
we should be traveling to Montreal this year. So, but, you know, it is what it is, and we're going to line up and do it.
That's how you got to do it. Line up and get it done. And I'm with you 100%. I did miss a couple of things that kind of jumped out, but I know you started with a small team. And this is where a tier system does work, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to put you up against the tribe. Well, I ain't going to say tribe, because tribe are pretty new, too. So I'm going to say the Dallas of the world, you know, the New York Sharks of the world have been around, you know, to beat up on you, you know, even though you might hold your own. But I'm as a commissioner or as a lead, whatever I am, I'm going to make sure that I make it favorable for you starting up as a new team and play against teams that are truly in your league as far as smaller teams, less experience, not just to fulfill a schedule, a home date for another team, you know, for a shellacking, you know, because that's what happens. You want to be accepted, and I 100% agree behind that. But that's what the tier system is set up, and keep the tier people in the tiers. Don't cross them. Especially an inexperienced team, but if you got somebody who's been around for 5 years, they're still tier two, and you can put them in a tier one game because they got the experience.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Like I said, I'm not arguing the tier system. I'm arguing the system within the tiers.
Yeah.
You know? Make it fair across the board for everybody, so that's what everybody's screaming about. Make it fair. You know?
Yeah.
That's all I say.
Well, I appreciate you putting up.
Like I said, I speak my mind, man. Go ahead, because I might cut off. Keep going.
Oh, no, we're fine. I just wanted to get that little point in there. I appreciate you, you know, giving us a little shout-out here. We're going to head up to Montreal in a couple of weeks and kind of do what we do and see what we make happen.
Hey, now, are you guys flying up there, busing up there? I mean, what's the form of transportation you guys are putting together?
Well, the way it works with people's work schedule, we're probably going to have to do two separate vans to get up there, and that's how we did it the first time we went up. So I think that's probably going to be the order of the day because, you know, people get off work on Thursday, people get off work on Friday, and then kind of work it from there. So the first group will get there and, you know, get rested. The second group will get there in time to get rested at night, and then we'll play the game on Saturday and head back on Sunday morning.
Right. Definitely that. I mean, like I said, everybody got to do what they got to do. Van it, mini van it, 15 passenger van it, bus it. You know, we trying to get by the, you know, what we can. Because we don't have $1 million. That's what I keep trying to tell. You know, what's wrong with football? There's not enough owners that got enough money to support this thing the way it needs to be supported, you know. And I'm not saying that we have to, but the reality is we don't. And we got to scrape down from any source that we can And our best way to get out there and promote the team is with the 40 women that we have on our team, and that's our street team. I'm from the music industry, and that's what we do to break an artist. We hire street teams, and they poke through our speakers and stuff to give awareness of the artist that's coming out. And that's what we have to do as women's football teams, you know?
I agree.
All right, I don't know if I'm still on. I'm going by the air. Base. I might be on, I might be off, I don't know, but I just keep on talking because that's what I do, you know, that's what I do for Coach Coastly. If anybody else is on the line, just jump on in, ask me a question, I can ask you a question, whatever you want to do. This is like a 5-minute drive, you know what I'm saying, we can squeeze it in, get it done, however it got to be. But Coach Holmes, thank you if you're still there. Coach Holmes, thank you if you're not there. Hey, and good luck.
Appreciate you.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Again, we're trying to squeeze in the time. We're trying to squeeze in this whole hour and a half. And like I said, I'm about 15 minutes away from home. I can't wait to get home. I just love going home. And I like having home playoff games, finally. It's the first playoff game at home. And like I said, we all live in different regions. We all live in different atmospheres. And we are adaptable to our atmosphere. And some of you guys like the cold. Some of us like the heat. Hey, it ain't my fault that we start spring football in late April. If you don't want to complain about the heat, it started up in January. But guess what? I'm going to complain about the ice and snow and sleet. Hell, I was complaining in May going to Utah, and it was below 60 degrees. I had a hat, I mean a wool hat on my head, had long pants on. I had 3 shirts because it was below 60. I didn't like it. And I know Coach Keller is probably laughing right now, but he saw me. It snowed. It was raining. I mean, like, this ain't football weather. It's me. Let's play ball. But you know what? We went in there. We did what we had to do. We ain't going to bring up no excuse. If it's cold, let's play ball. If it's hot, let's play ball. You know, our referees are great out here in Vegas. We had extra timeouts during the last game. And people think I just turned the heat on. I just woke up in the morning and said, you know, I wanted to be 160 days. Full of crap. You know, the bottom line was it was 92, 93, 80, 86. And then the next day, off of 86, they went to 106. We had to adjust, too, just like everybody else. The refs talked to the coaches and said, hey, I'm going to give water breaks during each quarter. My timeout as a referee. You know, just because the players don't know what's going on don't mean that we as coaches and people that's in charge of the game didn't know. Now, I went back and I'm back, and I won't go off again, I guarantee it, because I am in the city of Las Vegas. Lights, cameras, action. Coach Lee got 6 minutes before this bad boy's over with, and we're going to run through this bad boy. But like I was saying, I ain't got control over the weather. All I have control over is calling the plays. All I have control is the center's going to get the ball to the quarterback. All I have is control over the plays. And I'm not going to BS anybody and try to pull no wool on nobody's head. I'm not here to cheat nobody. You know, I hate being accused of things that I have supposedly done and have not done. I'm just the coach. I'm just an ex-ball player that know how to play ball. I'm a coach that know how to coach. I'm a marketing guru that know how to market and promote. I can't help that. Don't hate the player. Hate the game if you don't know it. If you don't know it, learn the rules. Learn the rules. And that's no disrespect to you ladies out there. I'm just saying, you got to get out there and learn the game. Don't expect your coaches to know everything. Don't expect your owners to know everything. Get out there and learn the game. get out there and watch football. Get out there and buy a book, Football for Dummies, at your local Borders Books. You can go to Amazon.com and get it. I don't care. If you want to do something and get better, you got to seek the education and go out there. Again, another plug, Women's Football Camping Conference. If you're sitting home because you didn't make the playoffs, it's obvious you're not good enough. If you're sitting at home and you didn't make All-Stars, it's obvious you're not good enough. Yeah, I'm challenging you. I called you out. What are you going to do to get better for 2011? Sit on your rump, gain 20 pounds, and call it a day? Tell me. You know, I talk to my players this way because I have a good relationship with them. They don't take it as a sign of disrespect. They take it as a challenge. And I understand coaching women's football and coaching men's football, is the difference is that when I'm coaching guys, I can challenge a man's manhood and they will step up to the plate. If I challenge a woman's womanhood, guess what? They either going to crumble and fall, and I'm being stereotyped. I'm stereotypical here. Not all, but I'm being stereotyped. I'm stereotyping. Listen up. I'm stereotyping. They're not used to being yelled at. Ladies, you on the line. You hear this. You get yelled at. That don't make you perform better. You need to be talked to. You need to be explained to. That's why men and women relationships are so funny. Men got to be a little bit more sensitive in approaching the women. You might not like it that I said it, but it's the truth. Guys, I'm not here to blow smoke. I'm not such an egotistical guy that I can't show my true feelings. I have a softer side. That's why I've been married for 17 years. I've been with my wife for 20 years. It's not because I'm trying to be hardcore or I'm trying to be the man. The fact is, yes, I have a sensitive side. I'm able to relate to women, and some of the coaches out there don't. And that's the division amongst the team. That's the division amongst some of the sexuality on the team. You got some ladies out there, you know, that don't want to take orders from a man. They just don't. They feel that they're the power of the field, you know, because they feel their status is. They're taking on the role of the man in some cases. You know, but hey, like I said, hey, my time flies and I have fun. You might not agree with me, but you do listen to me. You know what I'm saying? You might not move on it, but you might move to it. You know, that's just how it is when you rock for a football. I can get real if I want to get. I can get as soft as I want to be. I can be as hard as I want to be. But the full fact of this whole show is it's all about people. It's all about opening your eyes and letting you know. You don't know it all. I don't know it all, but we better get together so we can get it all together. If not, women's football ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Without the league, hey, we ain't got no game. Without the team, we ain't got no league. Without the players, we ain't got no team. We need each other to make this happen. And if you don't like the way I say, hey, we got the freedom to call the show. You know the phone number, 347-826. Oh, man, what is it, 7676762? Hey, I might have messed up because I ain't in front of my computer. I'm in traffic. Downtown Las Vegas is where I'm at. I'm talking back because we in the playoffs, God Dodgers, and you ain't. You know what I'm saying? And you don't like it, it gets better. If you don't want to get better, then quit. Don't play the sport if you can't get this kick. You know what I'm saying? When it gets hot, it gets hot. Hey, I got a whole bunch of slopes. I got a whole bunch of things I can say. Because you know why? I'm comfortable with myself. I know what I'm talking about, and I know what I can do. And it's coming from the heart. And you better get some hustle of football. That's what it is. Four quarters, don't sleep. I'm 2 miles from home. I'm going to go hug my wife, pick my kids, and go eat dinner. But anyway, I'll see y'all next Monday with the victory under our belt, heading into the playoffs for game June 26th. Florida fight, Philly, get ready. It's going to be hot. It's going down. Las Vegas, where it's at. I'm out of here. Peace.